is the Rick Smith Show.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. I'm not quite sure I agree with this new thing coming out of Iowa. Evidently, today, the Iowa Democratic Party decided that they're going to move for the 2020 presidential campaign. They're going to move to virtual caucuses. And they're going to take votes via phone, absentee votes via phone. And you'll have ranked choices. So that, you know, I guess you bring more people in and whatever. To me, the whole interesting part of the Iowa caucus was the human contact and the arguing and the game of it. Now we're sterilizing it. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick at thericksmithshow.com. Let's find out what's going on around the world and in Washington, D.C. Bob Nay, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. On that caucus issue, they don't have to give up one for the other. They could have the actual physical Iowa caucus, which people will show up to.
Sure.
Then bring people in virtually that can't make it.
Yeah, I get that. I know that you want to make it, you know, more people have access to it. I don't know. I think I like the old school, you know, you're in a room duking it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see how it works out. I mean, they're going to do it, so we'll see how it plays out. It just seems to me everything, and maybe it's just because I'm getting old, but everything seems to be, let's do everything online.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. I am old. I don't even like to buy things online.
No, I mean, you know, education. You know, my kids get classes online, and I'm going, probably the worst way to actually learn, in my view, is something online. I like
well,
the
idea. You know, electronics, real quick, I don't want to, you know, diverge from the topics, but I sent a check for electric bill, and I got a notice that they will not accept my checks for a year now because my check was returned. So I went to my bank, and my bank's like, there was money in there. I called the electric company. Well, here's what it boiled down to. They couldn't electronically properly scan my physical check that I sent them.
Uh-huh.
So they sent it back to check limbo, and now I can't write them a check for a year.
Well, then, say in a year, I'll be happy to pay
the
bill.
They saw the check. Physically.
But so how do they expect...
Their electronic system said, no.
So how do they expect that you're going to pay the bill in the future? They want you to put it on your
credit
card?
Now they want me to go to Walmart and pay cash.
You can go to Walmart and pay your electric bill?
Yeah, I guess so. That's what they told me.
I know you used to be able to go to the bank.
Which I won't do, but that's... what they told me.
So. Okay, well, maybe your credit card, anyway. I don't know, set it up like that.
But there's electronics for you.
Yeah, I hate that. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just bizarre. Anyway, I wanted to get some of your thoughts on the big scuffle of the day. This representative, Omar Ilion, evidently tweeted something out that has gotten the ire of the Jewish community, and also, I guess, the Democrats as well, because they've called on her to recant or to apologize. I'm not quite sure what the argument was. As I get it, she called out this AIPAC group and said that they're lobbying for, you know, buys both politicians on both sides of the aisle. I'm not quite sure how that's anti-Semitic.
Well, she's a Somali American woman, and there was a post by a journalist, and he criticized Kevin McCarthy for threatening to take action against her and another freshman lawmaker.
Okay.
Over allegedly anti-Semitic, you know, remarks they made. And then there was a quote by McCarthy, the Republican, "There's situations in our conference where a member does something that is wrong. I think you've seen from my own actions that I take action on it." He's talking about Stephen King. Steve King,
right,
from Iowa, which they took off the committees. So Greenwald accused McCarthy, this journalist, accused McCarthy, the congressman, Republican, of targeting Omar and Tlaib for their numerous criticisms of Israel. And Omar chimed in, because originally it was really, but Tlaib. Tlaib, and the Congresswoman Omar chimed in. She said, it's all about the Benjamins, baby, meaning Benjamin Netanyahu. But she was quoting a 1997 rap song by Puff Daddy about the Benjamins, baby, meaning
$100
Benjamin Franklin, right, the money. She then doubled down when challenged by another person named Batya Ungar Sargon, who's the opinion editor of the Forward newspaper, which I have no idea what that is. Forward newspaper, I don't know if you know.
I don't.
Okay, and the quote was, would love to know who they think is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel, though I think I can guess. Bad form, Congresswoman. That's the second anti-Semitic trope you've tweeted. In response, Congresswoman Opar tweeted AIPAC, A-I-P-A-C, American-Israeli Political Action Committee. She referred to it, which regularly has been accused by progressives of agitating for a conflict with Iran. So, boom. Colleagues started coming out. I think it was, who was it? Somebody said she ought to be thrown off the Foreign Affairs Committee, compared it to Stephen King, you know, because he was a racist and she's anti-Semitic. So it just went on and on. Nancy Pelosi got into it. They called Nancy Pelosi. Anyway, she apologized for being insensitive, but kind of held to the fact that, you know, about the power of AIPAC. So I'm looking at all of this, and I dealt with AIPAC and things, and I'm like, okay, what did she say that was really, really, really anti-Semitic? She doesn't like AIPAC. It's a lobby group. So she kind of made that clear. She doesn't like NRA. And AIPAC and other groups, you know, which I think she has every right to say that type of thing. If she implied about groups buying groups, well, we all say that all the time about different groups.
Yeah, I didn't get it. And, I know there was a backstory and all that, but I'm still not getting it. I'm still not getting where this is anti-Semitic, other than, you know, she singled out AIPAC. And you go, well, you know, now if we talk about any group that has, you know, has some power, is that now going to be? I don't know. We live in a very weird world right now.
If you single out Mohammed bin Salman, are you anti-Muslim? You know, I don't think you are, but that's just me.
No. I'm waiting for the handbook. I'm waiting for the rules on how this all this stuff works out.
Right.
Can you get me the memo? I must have missed the memo.
As my father says, you can't say anything anymore. He's 96.
Yeah, well, things were much different when he was a young man.
Right.
We were a much different country. And you could argue for the better, for the worse. I guess it all depends on your positioning. Let's move on. Virginia. What the hell's the matter with Virginia? Never mind Kansas. It looks like, you know, the governor is going to stay, doesn't it?
It looks like he's going to stay. I thought he was, you know, stick a fork in him, gone. Because,
me too.
You know, he didn't do it. He did do it. He's sorry. He didn't do it. He did do it. He's sorry. And, of course, all of the attention, because of the nature of a sexual allegation, is towards Fairfax, the lieutenant governor. And it's sort of a whole Kavanaugh, Dr. Ford. I mean, you got Dr. Tyson against Fairfax. Fairfax has hired Kavanaugh's law firm. Dr. Tyson hired Dr. Blasey Ford's law firm.
Wow.
And you've got the Feinstein effect, as I call it, because Feinstein staff was told, or she was told by her staff or whatever, a year or 6 months ahead of time, you know. And Congressman Bobby Scott was informed of this issue sort of a year before, and then he comes out and says he believes her. So, and Bobby Scott's a Democratic congressman from Virginia, so you got this whole thing going down, and it seems like Northam's out of the spotlight due to Fairfax and the sexual allegations.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, last week they were talking about impeaching Fairfax. Now, is that going to happen?
Well, the Democratic delegate, I think his name was Hope, that was going to impeach him today if he didn't resign, said, well, I'm going to wait a little bit. So I don't know if they're trying to maneuver. Now, you know, they're going to have to kind of – this one of the things that sort of got to make a decision. Hennig, the number three guy, has said, yeah, I wore blackface, I'm sorry, you know, for doing it. So I think he would be okay because, I mean, if you start down the path of well, you did this 35 years ago and you're done now. I mean, okay, he wore blackface. It was 35 years ago. He admits it and he apologized. You know,
which is what the NAACP said they wanted.
Right. Has he done things that are racist since then? No, that not that we know of. So therefore, well, okay, I think that's over with. You know, the governor's problem was, you know, he did, he didn't, he did.
Right.
You
know, I still wanted to see him moonwalk.
His wife stopped him.
Yeah. Shows judgment right there, man. So how are we seeing this play out? I mean, you know, I don't even know where to go with this whole bizarre scenario.
Well, Virginia, and I've been trying to get a straight answer on this, but I guess unlike Ohio, or I think the way the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania works, but unlike those states, if a Democratic governor in Ohio steps down or whatever, a Democrat replaces him. Her.
Well, the lieutenant governor steps up.
Well, yeah, lieutenant governor steps up, and then the lieutenant governor is replaced by the same party, but I guess it doesn't work that way in Virginia.
Wow.
Eventually, if the attorney general moves up, the Republicans appoint a new attorney general somehow because they control the House. It's really weird.
Oh, the intrigue.
I think now they're struggling, the Democratic Party is struggling what to do. Do you stand with them, or do you start to have that quit and eventually a Republican takes a seat? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Or you're going to take your beating, you know, next election around anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, geez, I don't know. Just amazing stuff. Let's move along. Friday's coming up pretty quickly. I know it's only Monday, and I'm always looking forward to Friday. But possible shutdown? We look, because evidently there was supposed to be a deal today. You know, Richard Shelby said, you know, we're pretty sure we're going to have a deal on Monday. Not so much.
Well, the deal fell apart, and it's due not to the wall. It's due to detention beds. And the deal Friday is going to fall apart if it's not taken care of tomorrow morning, because the House has a 72-hour rule. They got to post, according to their own rules, they have to post a bill, and it has to be able to sit for 72 hours, unless everybody agrees, which we know somebody will object. So therefore, it's tomorrow morning is the deadline. So they're going to have to put in probably some kind of temporary holding bill that says we are going to do what we've been doing for the next 10 days. You know, we're going to just continue everything.
So we're going to keep doing that, are we?
Probably. That's what they'll have to do.
Yeah, you know,
they
and
got,
that, that's
they
really...
got close on the wall or barrier or paper mache border. They got close on that, close enough for everybody. But the detention beds are the problem now.
And what's the issue with the detention
okay.
beds?
Well, let me just say, first of all, that, you know, the Democratic Party has completely blown this message, completely, how they're messaging it. The detention beds... 50,000-some beds. And what the Democratic side is saying is they want it limited, 16,000 beds, at least limited down that much, will be for criminals. And those are beds where the criminals are held, and then they're either sent out or put in jail, all right, or sent out of the country. So technically right now, all of the beds are, you know, deemed to be criminal because people that come here are, quote, illegal, whether
right.
they commit an actual crime. So what the message on the Democratic side, I think, should be, or what they may be intended to be, is these are comparable to Japanese internment camps, all right, that we used to have.
Right.
They're internment camps run by private companies charging $700 a day. Well, instead, the message, and I had to read this three times today, the message was that the Democratic side is trying to reserve 16,000 beds for criminals, okay? And that's not the message.
Yeah, they,
so,
again,
the leave was, but the press was too lazy to dig into what I just said.
Right.
Just to say that it's actually talking about not having internment camps.
Which is simple, which is, you know, even I can understand.
And you can put an ankle bracelet on people. We're not talking about criminals here. We're talking about people that are non-criminals that have asked for asylum, you know, and you can either spend money and adjudicate those cases, or you could put ankle braces on, whatever you want to do. 80-some% return anyway.
Right.
But the message just came out. I had to read the story three times.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. The average Trump supporter, and I've had this conversation more times than I ever want to, they believe anyone coming here is illegal and they're criminals. So everyone who is here in an undocumented fashion, they're all criminals and they should all be locked up. In fact, you know, I had this really great conversation on Saturday night with a guy who we did this whole circular kind of argument that, you know, the caravans, we should be crushed before they get here. And, you know, they're all, you know, trying to cross in the middle of the desert. And I go, no, they're trying to come to a legal port of entry. They're trying to do it the legal way. Well, we want people coming here the legal way. I go, well, then the caravan should be okay with you because they're attempting to come the legal way. Well, no, they should be crushed. And you go, well, do you want them coming or do you not? Well, ultimately it came down, no, we don't want anybody. We want to shut the borders down, seal everything off, and keep everybody out. And that seems to be, when you boil it down to the people who want the wall, that's the intent.
Right. Right. So we'll see what happens, because now it's on an issue on detention. I mean, I was looking at the numbers on these, and it's an unbelievable number. Like sometimes $700 or, if it's a family, $1,200 a day.
Yeah.
$700 a day per person.
And to live in the conditions that they've got, you go, where's this money going?
I mean, so that's the issue right now, but it boiled down to the press report that the Democrats want to have reduced from 50,000 beds to 16,000 beds for criminals, sounding like
you're soft on crime.
That there's 50,000 criminals are going to let, you know, 30,000 go.
Yeah, they're weak on crime. Yeah,
that's what the issue is.
Leave it to the Democrats to step in a hole.
And this one, they didn't. They're going to clarify, you know, on this one where they're at. Clarify it better.
Crazy. So are we predicting a shutdown, or do you think there will be some short term resolution?
I don't know why they just don't do short term, but after that, I mean, I don't know how you continue doing this.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we'll see how it plays out, Bob. I appreciate the thoughts, the insight. Always good stuff.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick